Let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline and talk to Corey Seidman of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Of course, you can check him out on Philly's pre- and post-game live, read his stuff on their website and the My Teams app, and follow him on Twitter, at CSeidmanNBCS. Corey, welcome to the unofficial start of the second half of the season. How are you today?
Good. You know, nice little all-star break. Right out of the shoot, though, the Phillies have a very tough task at hand here. This first week after the all-star break, in my opinion, is the most challenging week they've had to date in 2019, just because of, you know, the teams and the starting pitchers in particular that they're going to be facing five out of the next seven games.
So I want to start with a decision made by Gabe Kapler, speaking about pitching, and it's about tonight's game. And Nick Pivetta is getting the start instead of Aaron Nola to open up the second half of the season. I know it's just game one of 72, but is there any reason why Pivetta is getting the start tonight? Because I'm not going to lie, Corey, I think the Phillies need to start hot right away to try to build some chemistry and build some confidence in the locker room. And Nola gives you the best shot, no?
He does, but Aaron Nola is still pitching in this series. The move, the way I read it, is it gives Aaron Nola an extra day. This is a guy who's been a workhorse, especially of late, going seven innings deep into games. I mean, Aaron Nola over his last, five, six starts has really looked like the Nola of 2018. And he's been going deep into games, throwing a lot of pitches. He threw a career-high 116 or 117 pitches two starts ago. So that's something that the Phillies are mindful of. The other factor is that they want to align him in a way that he's going to face the Braves. I think that will determine days of rest in the rotation. And you also have to keep in mind that this rotation could change considerably over the next 14 days, you know, even over the next week, which would change the complexion of it and, you know, the probable pitchers. But look, you still have Nola going in this series. No matter which game he would have pitched, he would have been up against a really tough opposing starting pitcher,
right?
Because the Nationals are going Strasburg, Corbin, Scherzer. But I agree with you. They need to start the second half hot. And if you're going to get to one of the National starting pitchers, based on how great Scherzer has been this season, based on how electric Corbin has been over his last four starts, Strasburg probably gives you the best opportunity in the first game.
So during your answer, Corey, you brought up the idea of possibly having a totally different rotation within the next couple of weeks. You wrote a great article on these next 7 days that you can find it on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, and what these next seven games could mean for the Phillies come trade deadline time. Explain what needs to happen for the Phillies in the next three games against the Nationals and the four games against the Dodgers to make Matt Klentak believe that they should still be aggressive buyers at the deadline.
Well, this next week, you know, three against the Nationals with their top trio, and then you have four games at home against the Dodgers, who will have Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw going in that series. So when I said earlier five out of the next seven starting pitchers, that's what I meant. The Phillies need to, you know, play well in this week-long stretch. They need to go, you know, something like 4-3 or better, because if they lose, say, five out of these seven games, they're going to be a game over 500 at a point in the season where you're 60% of the way in. There's only 2 weeks left for the trade deadline at that point. How aggressive do you get? How realistic do you think your chances are of contending if the Phillies don't look good over this next week? And when I say look good, I'm not even necessarily just speaking about results. Like if this team finally hits the way it was supposed to, if the several days off gave them the recharge and rejuvenation that they needed, you know, I'm skeptical of that. I believe in the sample size that we've seen, but, you know, those are the kinds of signs that Matt Klentak is going to need to see. I still think that no matter what, no matter how these next seven games go, that the Phillies are going to make additions before July 31st. That was more so just in reference to the big ticket items. Like, I don't think the Phillies are going to really get super aggressive and go acquire the top starting pitcher on the trade market if they're only a game over 500 that far into the season, because at that point, you know, you're mortgaging more of the future for the idea of playing in a one-game wild card. And I don't think that's the right way to build an organization.
Speaking of Corey Seidman on the Comcast Business Hotline, and speaking of the deadline, I keep on hearing about how the Phillies don't have enough prospects, and I kind of understand that. But something got my attention today, and it's the numbers for Nick Williams in AAA this season. He's hitting .374 in his 91 at-bats. Could Williams help the Phillies make a move with the deadline? Like, have his major league struggles been enough to drop his stock completely? Or do you think there would be some teams that would be intrigued by the idea of trading for Williams?
Well, the fact that he's been hitting lately at AAA is obviously a good thing for the Phillies, because if he wasn't hitting at AAA, then his trade value would be at an all-time low. But I would say that the rest of the league understands the situation, too. They see that there's no real spot in the future for Nick Williams in the Phillies outfield. I mean, you have to consider that going into 2019 or going into 2020, it's going to be Bryce Harper in right field, Andrew McCutchen returning to play one of the other outfield spots. Jay Bruce will still be under contract and in the picture. And then you have guys like Adam Haseley and the possible return of Odubel Herrera. So, you know, Nick Williams does not have a spot, and this season has not gone well for him at the major league level. He hasn't gotten the opportunities he thought that he deserves, and, you know, there's a case to be made that he did deserve more of an opportunity, but he also didn't thrive when he came off the bench or when he did get rare starts. The rest of the league sees that. They see that the Phillies don't have a ton of leverage. So, I mean, I don't think you're going to get, you know, a young mid-rotation piece for Nick Williams. That's just not the trade value that he has. Perhaps you can, you know, get somebody helpful, but I don't see him being like the centerpiece of a trade. Perhaps maybe the second or third item in a trade, but not the luster just isn't there for him to go land you a Matt Boyd, you know, as the centerpiece of that trade.
All right, let's talk about Jake Arrieta for a minute. It looks like he is going to make his start for Sunday. I know we're kind of in wait-and-see mode right now, but if he pitches like the way he did against the Mets in his last start, aren't the Phillies almost forced to shut him down? I guess you have to ask yourself, would you rather have Arrieta pitching with the bone spur or a healthy Cole Irvin or a guy like Eniel De Los Santos? How will the Phillies handle this situation if he doesn't pitch well again?
Well, first off, I mean, that is telling in itself that the Phillies, or at least Gabe Kapler said in an interview earlier this week, that he feels that the Phillies feel that Arrieta at 85% might still be a better option than the other young starting pitchers. That's an indictment of the starting pitching in the organization, starting pitching that this team went into the season really talking highly about the depth of that starting pitching group. But look, Jake Arrieta has been shaky, and he's been shaky his entire tenure in Philadelphia. He's really only had two stints where it was prolonged success, where he was giving you quality starts and, you know, having those games of two runs in six innings and taking you deep and keeping you in. Like, he has kept the Phillies in games, I think it's fair to say, more often than not, but he just has not been more than a number four starter. The numbers bear that out. His ERA is near five this season. Last year, he really struggled late and finished around the four mark in terms of his ERA. If Arrieta pitches again this weekend, like he did against the Mets, I mean, when you say that, I mean, he hit three batters. He had no idea where the ball was going. He gave away leads. I would think that the Phillies have to go in a different direction, but they're going to let him pitch this weekend, see how he feels, reevaluate, and go from there. But this Jake Arrieta situation, in, you know, a year and a half into his contract, has worked out pretty disastrously for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's been terrible. Two more for you, Corey. Corey Simon on the Comcast Business Hotline. I did earlier this week, because we're in the All-Star break, so I couldn't really do previews of games or anything like that. So I had to do some of the mid-season grade stuff. And three of the names that came up and got the most reaction to are the biggest names that you would expect: Gabe Kapler, Matt Klentak, and Bryce Harper. Going back to the offseason to today, what would your mid-season grades be for those three different guys?
Probably give Kapler a B. Like, I don't really pin what has happened on him. You know, the Phillies have dealt with a lot of injuries. They've dealt with underperformance, and I don't think Gabe Kapler is the reason for that, the same way that he wouldn't be the main reason for their success if they were 15 or 20 games over 500 right now. I'd give Kapler a B. I'd give Bryce Harper probably a C-plus or a B-minus. I think that Harper lately has been a lot better, and I think that the full scope of what he gives you goes beyond just looking at, like, his OPS. I think that he also plays harder than anybody else on that field every night, which, you know, you can say whatever you want about it. Maybe some people don't believe in the effect that that has on your teammates, but it does have an effect on your teammates. And he's been a quality defender. He's been an aggressive and at times very good base runner. And so I think I would probably lean more toward B-minus for Harper. There's still a lot left that he can provide for this team. And especially when he hits like he did in the second half last year, when he hit exactly 300 with an OPS just under 1,000. If he does that again this year, his numbers are going to end up in a very good place. As far as Klentak, you know, it's really tough to figure that out, because I also thought that he had a great offseason. You know, the Bryce Harper thing, you know, any GM can go spend money, but, you know, I thought the acquisition of Gene Segura turning J.P. Crawford and Carlos Santana into Gene Segura, I really liked it at the time, and I still do like it. The J.T. Realmuto trade, I was behind because I'm not convinced Sixto Sanchez is going to be a frontline starting pitcher long term.
Wow.
But, you know, given the fact that Klentak really didn't address the rotation, and the Phillies maintain the status quo and have been quiet, and, you know, they've needed three fifths of a rotation for 2 months now. So because of that, I can't really give him better than like a C+. C+ because of all the acquisitions he did make, but not a higher grade because of some of the acquisitions he didn't make.
Yeah, I gave him a C during my midseason grade for Klentak, so we're pretty much on the same page with all of them. Last one for you. The next time we speak will be 7 days from now before the Phillies begin a three-game series with the Pirates in Pittsburgh. So these next seven games are going to be pivotal when it comes to the Phillies and their chances at making big trades at the deadline. How does this play off? Try to look into your crystal ball a little bit, Corey. How does this play out for the next seven games, three against the Nationals, four against the Dodgers?
Well, I think so. Okay, we're at July 12th right now. You're going to start seeing a lot of activity. I think, like at this point, you know, perhaps midweek next week, I think, is when the activity is going to begin, because you have to remember there's no August trades. Teams are going to be more aggressive. Teams are going to be more eager to get things done before the craziness of those final few days. I do think that a week from now, the Phillies will have made one trade. I'll go out and I'll say that. Not that I feel that anything's imminent right now, but these are challenging games, and any way you can help your team during this stretch, you know, that's an important thing to do, especially given the fact that JT Realmuto goes on paternity leave and he might miss, you know, two-thirds of this Nationals series. In terms of how it all plays out, you know, if you're asking for like a long-term forecast, I don't feel great about the Phillies right now, just based on the way they've played over the last month, but you have to keep in mind there are only two teams in the entire National League who are even one game better than the Phillies, the Braves and the Dodgers.
Wow.
Two out of 15 teams are one game better than the Phillies. So as poorly as they have played over this last month and a half, there has been little separation other teams have had from them in the standings other than the Braves, who are the most important team. But look, there's all these teams, like eight teams within two games of each other. So it's anyone's guess. I think the team that makes the most impactful trade deadline move and gets the biggest second half from their star player will be, you know, the team that gets the second wild card spot.
Great stuff as always, Corey. Follow him on Twitter at CSimonNBCS, and we'll speak to you next Friday, hopefully after a 7-0 win streak. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it, Andrew.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, Corey, thanks a lot, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.